Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up, we've got our NFL Blitz segment on the way. You tweeted out a picture last night, and then I retweeted it. I think it was Craig who told us he had been down there to McCray's, and the picture is the March beer of the month. And whose beer is it?
It is Dukes and Bell Hey Man Blonde Ale from Oconee Brewing Company. So go down to McCray's right there just south of 14th. They got ice cold Hey Man, and ran into a couple of listeners last night and enjoying some pints. They got the arguably one of the best appetizers in Metro Atlanta. It's those the buffalo egg rolls, the buffalo chicken egg rolls with some ranch or some blue cheese. So wash that down with some Hey Man Ale and say hi to everybody at McCray's. Great spot.
Yeah, check that tweet out. We appreciate McCray's supporting the brew.
It's kind of neat watching the players. Earlier, you know, they moved it up to everybody's trying to stay away from going toe-to-toe with the NFL. So to make this a little more interesting, great for folks on spring break, the weather's great. We're watching the players on the TVs in studio down in Ponte Vedra. Tiger in the water. 17 twice, Carl. Took a 7. Bad. Wow. Yeah, he hit in the water off the tee, and then on the drop, he hit in the water again. So Tiger has his worst ever hole in his all the rounds he's played at TPC Sawgrass.
Yikes. We'll keep an eye out on that. Also, we're watching the SEC tournament. And LSU's on the ropes as we speak against Florida. We'll keep you updated. Remember, LSU literally today just got a player back from all this stuff that's been going on with Will Wade down there. Mm-hmm. But they are giving LSU all they can ask for. This is why I love the tournament, man. I love tournament time and conference tournaments. And
I got to be honest with you.
Election Sunday.
I don't watch a lot. Even, you know, once you get into, like, the meat of the ACC or the SEC schedule, I don't think I'm alone. This is the time that, I mean, I really do get focused on this stuff. Like, watching that amazing Florida State buzzer beater against the Hokies yesterday. Tonight, you get Duke and Carolina, the late game up in Charlotte. Florida State, Virginia. And that's a hell of a two semifinal games.
I agree, Mike. It's kind of the timetable, you know, for sports in our world. And I got to tell you, we said this when United first started a couple of years back, and I said, where is United fit in our landscape of sports? And I don't know if anybody really knew. I mean, obviously the hardcore soccer fans who have been craving soccer were going to watch it, but now I fit them into this. You know, they are now a part of this landscape that includes college basketball, now with the golf schedule starting, obviously NBA and the playoffs are getting ready to heat up here in a month or so. So you're right. This is the time to watch. Hey, man, we got plenty of NFL conversation to talk about right now in our NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Now, before we get to the Kareem Hunt stuff, which we started the show talking about today, 8 games for him, suspension. He does not appeal. He will take the 8 games and come back to the Browns. But there is a big story that has just happened.
Yeah, according to Adam Schefter from ESPN, Titans are sending Ryan Tannehill to the Tennessee Titans. So the Tannehill era is over, and one trip to the playoffs in a game he didn't even get to start against the Steelers a couple of years ago is Matt Moore. But the trade, it's kind of what you saw with the Case Keenum deal. If you saw the Flacco trade, he says basically it's like kind of like Flacco with a touch of Case Keenum. Miami gets a 2024th round, a 7th rounder in this year's draft, and Ryan Tannehill agrees to rework his contract, signs a 1-year, $7 million fully guaranteed contract that goes to $12 million with playtime and other incentives. Basically, if you're asking why, it's because nobody trusts Marcus Mariota to stay healthy for 16 games.
Can't evaluate you if you're not on the field.
He's had that the nerve issue in his hand and his elbow where he's having a hard time gripping the football. So that's an insurance policy.
So what's this mean for the Miami Dolphins?
Well,
because that's what I'm wondering now. Does this mean they go get a quarterback in the draft?
It all starts with Arizona. Is Arizona going to take Kyler Murray first? Because I don't think Miami's interested in Josh Rosen. Maybe there'd be a trade there down the road. Does this mean that they're locked on to Drew Lock? They're picking right before we are at 13. Would the Dolphins have to trade up if they really want to get Kyler Murray? That's interesting, right?
It is. you know what? For Kyler Murray, you got to be smiling right now. Because you still have the Cardinals interested, who hold all the cards, pardon the pun, at the top of the draft. You obviously have the Raiders interested, who are picking fourth, and now potentially the Dolphins. My point is, guys, if you're Kyler Murray and you got all these teams interested and there may be some shuffling that goes on the night of the draft, he may end up.
I mean, I don't know if John Gruden really believes in Derek Carr or it's all a bunch of BS, because Josh Allen replaces, Khalil Mack. You know, that'd be your pass rush guy. That seems to make the most sense for the Raiders at four, unless you're going to go QB, to your point. The Giants, everybody keeps linking the Giants to Dwayne Haskins, and there's really nothing to say they're not going to. So we'll see. But the only reason I bring it up is it's interesting because if the Dolphins, if somebody trades with the Dolphins or somebody moves up, I just don't want nobody snaking us one of those defensive tackles that we covet at 14.
All right, man. So Ryan Tannehill going to the Titans. And guys just asking us about this. What is this? Why would they do that?
Because Mariota can't stay healthy. Yeah. And he's one ugly, but no one really thinks of him as an elite quarterback. Real quick, close your eyes, not if you're driving. Who in their right mind would draft Marcus Mariota in your fantasy draft? Exactly.
No.
Right. I mean, if you got a quarterback on a bye and your backup quarterback's hurt, Marcus Mariota, you're like, oh, crap. Nobody wants that.
Nobody.
No disrespect to Marcus, great college player. But it is what it is.
In other NFL news, so Kareem Hunt gets 8 games. It was brought up to me, and this is correct. Kareem Hunt lied to the Chiefs when he was asked about this, which is why they let him go. Okay, this wasn't like he was being a good citizen and wanted to tell him everything. And, oh, by the way, here's the video. And I don't even know if he knew there was a video. But when he was asked about it and the Chiefs found out,
right,
he lied. And ultimately, they got him run out of Kansas City. So here's the disparity, guys. And just take this in, okay? For what it's worth, whether you think Kareem Hunt got a fair shake or not, 8 games, it should have been more. I think it should have been a season. Mike, there were no charges, no evidence. And the lead investigator in the Ezekiel Elliott case basically said the accuser was not credible. And he got 6 games.
That's my point to start the show. I thought it was BS. I mean, if you can't find anything on Ezekiel Elliott other than, we use that phrase a lot today, bad optics. Okay, that he's playing grab bag with a lady on a float somewhere in Texas. You know, that he's getting, you know, goofy in Key West. Okay, that's a young football player having fun on his own time. And you might not like it, but you can't suspend him over that. And if the lead investigator had nothing to say about as far as the suspension over whatever went down with his ex-girlfriend, who the longer and the further we get away from that story seems like an axe to grind. It's ridiculous. He got 6 games. The Cowboys season was derailed. And you're going to give this guy 13 games if you add up the 5 from last year and the 8?
Yep.
Makes no sense. Which drives me crazy about Goodell and how they doled out the discipline.
So, as far as kicking a woman, no problem. 8 games. That's the precedent now, right?
In the Me Too era, you got the video is indisputable. Whatever was said, you know, if an N-bomb was dropped, if there was drugs or there was booze or God knows what's going on in that hotel room, you saw what you saw. How do you rationalize that unless you're a caveman?
You can't. Personal conduct policy is what this falls under. It's why the NFL can suspend him. It's what we said all along, why the Browns are willing to take a chance. Now, if you're the Browns, you're happy as heck.
Oh.
Okay?
Big time.
You are like, okay, 8 games, thank you. We'll see you.
No
Bye.
Appeal. See you.
Bye.
Good.
We're good. Close the door, because the Browns' offense, it looks like it has the potential to be really good. Add Kareem Hunt, who can catch the ball out of the backfield. Run Mike reverses and you know, screens and all kind of stuff to him to get him involved in the offense. He's a monster. I don't mean that. That's probably the wrong choice of words. Well, he's a monster on the field.
Some would say he's that too.
Yes, he's a monster
but I mean,
on the field.
Like the Joe Mixon thing. You know, Joe Mixon, I mean, that Joe Palooka situation, that was a terrible video as well. And some people thought that the NFL should have, you know, banned him for a couple of games to start his career, you know? Especially when you consider they took out Terrell Pryor for impermissible benefits, which had nothing to do with the NFL. That's why I keep bringing this up. I know most football fans don't care. They just want to see their football. They don't care if Roger Goodell's a complete clown. But there's no rhyme or reason to how this stuff goes down. Players are going to want some payback on the CBA. Owners are going to want some payback after what's going on with guys like Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. This next work stoppage is going to be a doozy.
All right, man, it's our NFL Blitz segment. We mentioned earlier that Brian Poole signs with the Jets. Former Falcon lands with New York. Meanwhile, there's some other things that are going on in and around the NFL. One of them being that Teddy Bridgewater, you brought this up yesterday, Mike, returns to the Saints after flirting with Miami. This is interesting. Now, this makes sense as to why Miami was so interested in Teddy Bridgewater, because they had intentions to maybe move Ryan Tannehill.
So Tannehill, if you just tuned in, he goes up to Nashville in a trade. But the Saints get extra money. They get some cap relief from Drew Brees. He moves up his money up the same way Matt does. And what do they do with that extra money? They sign Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know if Drew was cool with that. And if Teddy is, in fact, the quarterback of the future, because Sean Payton has talked a lot about some of the quarterbacks in this draft, but they don't have a draft pick in the first round.
Yeah.
So either way, like, it's a great story if Teddy can eventually get back as a starter in this league.
So this is all about the future. And again, if Breeze leaves or whatever happens, I said this, guys, this is their window. You don't continue to go to NFC championship games and lose, or divisional round playoff games and lose. That's been the case for the Saints the last couple of years, right? I mean, it was the Minnesota Vikings, and then this last year, obviously, losing the way they did to the Rams. That's a three-year window. This year is the one where you go, all right, all in, because next year they're going to have a whole lot of cap issues.
It's our NFL Blitz brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, Al. Shenanigans in every can. Hey, man, the Falcons did make more moves. We told you yesterday about Stocker, the new tight end, the blocking tight end, Carl, component. And then at the end of the show, we found out that Kenyon Barner, he's listed as a running back, but he is a kick return guy. That's basically going to be his role with his team. But Kenyon Barner, who was lit up by Matt Bosher last year in the Carolina game up in Charlotte, he has some familiarity with our kickoff specialist.
Familiarity with Bosher specifically. Do you like what we've done so far?
You know what? You could sit there and cross your arms and still go harumph, harumph. These guys are a bunch of stiffs. They're athletic, athletic's not the right word. They're bigger, pounding guards. These are more physical. We've added physicality. My old partner back in the day, Bo Bach, Bo would always say, Carl, do you have a playing personality? Well, you got a playing personality with this offensive line because it's legitimately tougher. It's more rugged. You brought in a more physical blocking tight end. Now, if you want to go back and find a fullback at some point, that's a dirt cutter, one could argue. But we've gotten more physical, and you've beefed up next to Alex Mack, which is great.
Yeah, I got to give him credit because, again, going from a cap situation that seemed dire to one where you gave yourself some flexibility, which is what we talked about, and then going out and addressing your number one priority is what this team needed to do. They have done, okay, for what it's worth, everything we've wanted them to do so far. We said go get some offensive linemen. Again, I don't know what linemen you wanted. Maybe the guys you wanted were on Mars, okay? They went and got some offensive linemen. They went and got a tight end, a blocking tight end. We went and got another reserve running back. Again, I think Mike's right as far as the kick return game. That's where he's going to help us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now you start to focus on these other positions, corner, defensive tackle, edge rusher, if you want to do it in the draft, and you beef up our defense.
So you can go, basically, to your point, do anything you want. Dan wants a DB, you can do it. DT, you can do it. By the way, you know who got cut by the Patriots?
Who's that?
Adrian Claiborne.
Oof. One season, huh?
I'm just saying, I wouldn't mind getting Adrian back here as a rotation guy on a manageable contract. But what do you think, Squid Billy?
Oh, I love AC. I'm cordial with the guy, I play golf with the guy, but he tweeted out.
How'd he play? How'd you hit him? How'd you name drop Squid Billy?
Name drop.
Squid Billy name drop.
He's
I play golf with him.
I think he's actually went to a swing coach. I'm broke bread with the man. I like him. Anyways, my boy AC, who I've played golf with.
Yes.
Did I tell you that I played golf with AC?
That's been established.
Falcon insider, yes. Squid Billy.
Yes.
He thanked the organization. He says, I gained so much respect for how you do things, win championships. Thank you for granting my release. I'm ready for this next chapter. So I don't know what's next for Adrian Claiborne.
I'd like, he's 30 years of age, for guys who are wondering. You know, he had that monster six sack game against the Cowboys. Was it six sacks against the Cowboys? Man, that tackle was a turnstile. But anyway, Adrian would be.
Well, that got him paid this last season.
Adrian's a guy that would fit what we do. And I always like having guys with Super Bowl rings in the locker room. I know, again, price would have to be right for a guy like Bruce Irvin. Price would have to be right for a guy like Adrian Claiborne. So we'll see. But I would like, if I could afford him, I'd like to get him back.
All right, man. It is our NFL Blitz segment. As we talk about quarterbacks, Joe Flacco came out, Mike, and said that Tom Brady, has shown us we can play until 60.
Oh, easy, Tiger.
Yeah, that's a little bit too much. After trading for Flacco, the Broncos, obviously he is 34 years old, and Flacco still has maybe some good years ahead of him. I don't know how many he's going to play there in Denver, mm-hmm. but I think this is the notion now with quarterbacks. If you can protect them and they're decent, you can play maybe into your late 30s, early 40s. And I just don't know if anybody would have thought that, two decades ago. Usually, guys, when your quarterback got to 34, he was done. 34 was like that age for quarterbacks where you were looking for a new one. And now you got guys, including our own guy, who's got a long-term deal, who's going to play up until his late 30s, maybe even 40.
And then when you get the kind of money invested in Matt Ryan like we do and his receiver like Julio, it makes sense you go get some big 320 and 340-pound guards to help protect this man. I just hope Sombrello can carry his load on the right side of tackle. Only time will tell. Also, guys, you like to poke the bear at the Saints, right?
Of course.
Saints, we're still trying to figure out what else they're going to do with the limited resources they have after that Teddy Bridgewater deal. They lose one of their defensive ends. Alex Okafor goes to the Chiefs. Remember, they lose both D Ford, Justin Houston, and they cut Eric Berry. They do bring in Honey Badger.
What the Saints do?
But this obviously paves the way for your boy Davenport once he, you know, he's healthy and stuff.
Yeah, once he gets back on the field. You want to hear from Nick Foles real quick? Foles introduced as the Jaguars quarterback. Here's Nick Foles.
My heart's pounding in my chest just to be a part of Jacksonville and be a part of this community. And I couldn't be more thrilled. My wife and I, as we were driving in today, we can't believe that we get to be a part of such an amazing organization. Truly are blessed. The thing that I'm most excited about, honestly, is just getting to know my teammates. That's why I play this game, is to step in the huddle and play with the guys I love.
You know what? I just wish guys would just come out. I would just love to hear the real. Like Nick Foles get up there and this 50 mil got me here. It's 50 mil guaranteed. It's 50 mil. And that's why I'm here. That's the only reason I'm here.
But he's kind of got that Tim Tebow thing. He's a God Squad guy, Carl. He
50
says,
mil.
He believes what he says. He's not gonna, he's actually happy to be in Jack. You're so jaded. You're so jaded.
Me and my family are excited about what? 50 mil.
Oh, there's nothing like walking down Main Street in Jacksonville. It's such a lovely city. No, I mean, other than Punta Vedra, where they're playing golf right now. Ugh.
Yeah.
It's hey, like man. Macon by the sea.
All right, check this out, Mike Bell. What Atlanta Brave has his first home run of the spring? We will tell you next on Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell coming up. 4 o'clock hour, guys. We will talk plenty about pro days that happened yesterday, including Michigan's pro day. They got a couple of studs that are going to go in the NFL draft. And Dan Mullen takes a shot at Kirby. Stay tuned for that.
I don't like the sound of that.
Steve Coonan also on the way in the 4 o'clock hour. But you did a podcast today, my friend.
Yeah, a special time in a boy's life, his first podcast. Me and Squidbilly. Who knew that Squidbilly, he of Kennesaw State, would become a big Formula One aficionado, Carl. He's been addicted to that new documentary on Netflix we've been telling you guys about called, Drive to Stay Alive or what the hell?
The Drive to Survive.
What the hell is that thing called? Anyway, it's high def. It's actually one of the few good ideas that Liberty Media has ever had. It's all behind the scenes, like Hard Knock style on Formula One. Well, Squid has become a devotee. And as we're going to kind of do, we want to call it Formula 101, Carl. So okay. Formula One. Basically for dummies and also for the big fans. And we did our first podcast. It's going to post here in just a few minutes, right?
Actually, it just went live as we came back from break.
Hi-oh! And again, at 929thegame.com, we'll put the link up on Twitter. But we're talking about Formula One. The season starts down under. And Mercedes is the fastest in practice today. And Ferrari's got some catching up to do.
I heard you guys in the studio then just cracking up and having fun. So I'm right. Curious to hear it. And go check it out at 929 The Game.
We just got to teach Squidbilly how to pronounce Renault. He's like, that Renault's pretty good. We're gonna get them. We're gonna get it's a work in progress.
I just want to say the T, Carl.
I understand.
Renault. Say Renault.
Renault.
Is that on the podcast, by the way?
Yeah, well, I'm like, it's Renault.
Yeah, okay. All right.
That actually is, and then I just say, well, you know what? Go listen.
Okay, good deal. Go check it out, guys. Real quick, we talked about Ryan Tannehill being traded from the Miami Dolphins to the Titans. Our buddy Daniel Jeremiah puts out the stats. It's kind of interesting. He says Marcus Mariota, career stats, 56 games. And remember, he's been injured quite a bit as well. But 63% completion rate, 69 touchdowns, 42 picks, 11 rushing touchdowns. Tannehill, 88 games. So that's 32 more games. Mm-hmm. 62% completion rate, 123 touchdowns, 75 picks, and 6 rushing touchdowns. So if you want to just look at, well, is this guy better or not? I agree with Mike. I think this is a much more – this is like a risk-reward situation for Tannehill. You perform, you've got a bunch of incentives that could increase your salary, and we'll reassess things after the season, but I don't know if he's that much better than Marcus Mariota comparing these numbers.
No, I mean, he got injured too. He missed time. He missed the Dolphins' one playoff game during his time there. He was supposed to be the franchise quarterback. That's why they picked him the way they did. But it just didn't pan out. And what do you want to say? You know, Adam Gase didn't do the job or whatever your feelings are about Tannehill. To me, he's just one of those guys that doesn't have it. He just doesn't have it.
Yeah.
And Mariota's a guy that's a great competitor, but he can't stay healthy. We've talked about the nerve issues in his hand and in his throwing arm. And, again, he's never going to dazzle you throwing the football. It is what it is. So, yeah, it's just an insurance policy with a slightly above-average quarterback in Tannehill.
All right, guys, to the Braves, we asked the question, what Brave hit his first home run of the spring?
Who?
Josh Donaldson.
Hey, how about that?
again, speaking of health, if he can be healthy, this guy can put up some maybe some MVP numbers. I love the fact, though, Mike, you know, that he comes back and he talks about getting his at-bats and his swing. It looks good. But Donaldson gets his first dinger of the spring today.
It's first dong for Josh Donaldson.
Long ball.
Yeah, buddy. He goes 1-for-3 with the 2 RBIs. Carl mentioned the home run. Austin Riley, 1-for-1 today. And Acuna, he is 1-for-4. Actually, he's a walk. He scored a run with a trips to the dish. The problem today for the Bravos in a 5-5 tie. Remember, they can just call it a draw because it's spring training as they're taking on the Marlins. Sean Newcomb gets lit up. 4 1/3.
No!
7 hits. 4 earned runs. So the more and more we get further into spring training, the more it sounds like opening day, Julio Teheran.
Julio. Let me ask you this, Mike. Do you think that Acuna could be MVP this year?
Certainly.
I do too.
Now, it's just a matter of where you're going to hit him. I still agree with you. He's such a tremendous talent in the new metrics of baseball. Do you bat him clean up, or would you like to see him at the top of the order? Because, again, he can steal bases, he can do it all. Or would you like to split the difference and have him batting third?
See, that's the thing. I think if he was to win the MVP, and I'm not telling you he couldn't get the kind of recognition he would deserve at the leadoff spot, but if you're talking about him driving in 100-plus runs, it's going to be in the 3 or the 4 hole, right? So if you put him in the cleanup role and you have Enciarte leading off, you got Donaldson in the 2 spot, you got Freddie, Acuna could really put up a 30-plus home run, 125 RBI kind of season.
Hey, look, as we said, we talked about this if you guys missed the show yesterday. When we were kids, you're the man, you're batting cleanup.
Cleanup.
You're a cleanup hitter. But
cleanup.
Nowadays in baseball, you want to see your best athlete get as many at-bats to obviously, you know, get as many chances to get on base. Ozzie Albies, by the way, Snitker had Ozzie leading off today. He had a good day. 2-for-3 with a run scored.
Acuna missed that time last year. He still had 26 home runs. So he could have easily had 30 last season.
Of course.
But the RBIs were not there. It's only 64 RBI. I say only just because he was leading off. So if you think that Acuna has a chance to maybe win MVP, that would be the thing. So maybe we split the difference. Maybe sometimes he leads off, Mike, and maybe sometimes you put him in the cleanup spot.
Now, the big thing for the Bravos is what does Ender Inciarte come out? Because, again, if Ender's back to hitting 285 at leadoff and doesn't go through that slump that he had in the first half, then that changes the way you got a lot more options. But Acuna just, man, he just makes things happen. He's a guy you would literally, you'd like to clone him and have him bat first and cleanup. But as long as Donaldson gets healthy, and we knew it was going to be a minute before we got out there, but he's showing signs that he's ready to go.
I'm happy about that, and it's good news to see Donaldson connect. Again, what's it mean, big picture? Nothing. It's spring. But you just want to see guys, you know, performing at a level when the season rolls around here in about a week and a half from now.
Rest of the bullpen today, Vizcaino got through one inning with no damage. Johnny Ventures came in, poured some gas on the fire, and gave up one run on 2 hits. Biddle with a strikeout, and Graham with 2/3 of an inning with 1 hit. So just trying to figure out what the bullpen's going to look like. I hate
Jesse Biddle.
Biddle. I hate the idea of the closer by committee thing with Vizcaino and Minter doing that. But Snicker, at least for the time being, and we talked to Alex Anthopoulos earlier in the week, sounds like they're cool with it.
The only reason I would tell you that it gives you options to go righty lefty, depending on who the hitters are in that inning to decide what guy might be best for that situation. That's the only real advantage it might give you. But even then, Mike, it's still a numbers game, you know? And if you told me I had a fire-breathing closer to go in and throw 95, 96, 97 to finish the game, that's the guy I want. I don't care about whether he's good against righties or lefties. Go get me 3 outs and let's finish the game. But I don't like it either. I've never been a fan of closer by committee.
And we weren't excited necessarily about Markakis keeping him around. Everyone loves Nick Markakis. We just thought maybe we could find somebody with a little more home run pop in right field. But Markakis, he's found his groove. He's batting .438 right now. Dave O'Brien from the Athletic reminds us the Golden Greek 2-for-3 today against the Marlins.
Okay, Markakis. They need to rest him. That's the thing.
Well, that's why you could use Austin Riley in the outfield.
You can't. He cannot play 160-plus games. Right. And expect him to be fresh if and when the playoffs roll around for us. And I think they will again. We'll have another opportunity. By the way, you guys hear anything about Harper? I mean, now that the Harper's signing, I mean, the Phillies are like the thing. They're the team that everybody's talking about. I want to see how they start the season, man.
Well, remember Gabe Kapler started off the season not really knowing how to manage. But by the end, it wasn't bad. Then they faded. But the Braves just got clutch, even with some of the second half kind of swoons. Enciarte picked it up. Markakis tailed off a little bit. But yeah, man, Acuna put that team on his back. Freddie was always, you know, being Freddie, he's super steady. Just can't wait to see what it's going to take to get Liberty Media off their fat butts and spend some money.
Yeah,
you know, under the present business model, from what we all can go by is what the president and the general manager said, Carl. maybe they're going to wait till you're going to have to be within striking distance. And what's that magic number? You're going to be within 5 or 10 games of the Phillies? I mean, I just think it's the wrong way to do it. I just don't understand all these Braves, not all these, but there's a lot of Braves fans who just buy everything these guys sell you hook, line, and sinker. Why wouldn't you build on winning the division by going out and getting someone to help your rotation while the young guys develop?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I get it. If the Kimbrel thing is ridiculous, the contract's too much, all right, so be it.
So be it.
But there's other guys out there you could have been in the mix for.
Speaking of Harper, by the way, he came out and said he never heard from the Yankees, that the Yankees never touched base with him.
Well, they're over the luxury tax, as it is. Not that it matters to them, but yeah. they're spending right
well,
now.
Well, you didn't think they were going to go. I say this, but they've always done the craziness, right? I didn't think they'd go spend with what they did with Stanton.
Right.
Go get him and then turn right back around and give Bryce $300 or $400 million. But there were rumors out there about, you know, were the Yankees involved? And he said, no, I never heard from the Yankees. So that's interesting because, remember, I think it's, what, $325 million for Carlos Giancarlo Stanton
mm-hmm.
is what they picked up a portion or the remaining portion of that.
The Braves, man, will hopefully be scoring a lot of runs. We won't have to worry about the bullpen and all the stuff we're talking about. It just seems like for all the things that happened last year, you know, you would just, for instance, the Hawks. We had a plan. It might take 2 or 3 years. Now we're really feeling like we might be ahead of schedule. Well, the Braves are ahead of schedule.
They are.
Act accordingly. Now the Hawks might be players in free agency now in the offseason.
No, and the general manager, Travis Link, and the front office has to act accordingly. You can't just sit back and go, yeah, we're going to continue to go, you know, hope we cross our fingers and go get draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
If we're lucky enough to get these two draft picks. And again, right. Guys, if you're not following us with the Hawks real quick, the whole premise is we get an additional first-round pick based on Dallas, okay? That's why we're watching the Mavs so closely. But it might not happen this year. It could happen ultimately next year. Right. But we could end up with two first-round picks this season, Mike, and with what I've seen already, Kevin Huerter, John Collins, not in this order, and Trae Young, all right? That's your building blocks. That's the future of our organization. And I said this, Herter's a glue guy. Herter's a guy that is going to come off the bench. When the team gets really good, he may start here in the next couple of years. But he's a guy that's going to come in, give you offense, be able to D up guys on the opposing team, Mike, and come in and give you quality minutes. Kevin Huerter, in my opinion, could ultimately be like a sixth man, you know, a best sixth man right. of the year award kind of guy. That's what I see him because he can do so much and he's so athletic.
But everybody always wants to poo-poo Will. Nobody wants to come to Atlanta. Baloney. Everybody lives here. Everybody spends time here in the offseason. You know, we used to joke around and there was some truth to it. Everybody has their side piece here in Atlanta. That said, Carl, you're telling me that we couldn't get a guy like Boogie Cousins in here? Imagine Boogie with John Collins, Trey, another big draft pick. You know, I know that people can dream about some of the other elite players, but there's some guys out there. We've got a really strong nucleus. I mentioned yesterday Alex Len does a nice job off the bench. I mean, there's some really good things happening here. So get involved, man. Go get some ticks. Now, unfortunately, I think Mavericks are going to catch us for that fifth spot. We're not going to get that pick till next year.
Hey, Lloyd Pierce also talked about Kevin Huerter. We'll let you hear it later. He said he's special, and that's coming from our head coach who sees him every day. I just think he is gone above and beyond what people expected from him. Hey, coming up, we got Mike Conte. In case you missed it, it's next on Dukes and Bell.
Sports Radio 92.9 right here on Dukes and Bell.
Lexi Lawless is going to join us 20 minutes from now, guys. Talk Atlanta United. Soccer analyst, of course, he came on with us during the championship week and talked about us being a super club.
And he also said, now win this. And after we won it, we had him on. He says, now you're going to defend this. You're going to have to deal with the success and all that comes with becoming a super club.
So he will join us here in 20 minutes. Speaking of soccer, real quick, I got to ask my man Mike Conte. By the way, in case you missed it, brought to you by Resurgence Orthopedics. From neck to toes, muscles and bones get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. I'm speaking from experience. I've been there. Great folks. And their doctors are amazing. All right. You getting a ring?
I mean,
are you getting a ring?
Sometimes the announcers get a ring.
That's for the players. So, the rings look great, though. I
mean, they are.
Yeah, they're awesome. They're
I asked that because you are the play-by-play guy. Are you getting one?
Those are for the players. So, okay. And that's cool. But it's a big match for them on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I said with Jason, we were doing a little podcast earlier today. I told Jason, they got to score multiple goals now. Okay? We're kind of taking baby steps, all right?
Right.
You know, we started at the bottom. On Sunday with that draw against Cincinnati, no one very happy about that. Took a big step the other day against Monterey, getting a 1-0 win. Not going through, but getting a 1-0 win against one of the best teams in the hemisphere. Now you got to get this done. Philadelphia, without their best player who's on red card, they're a team that last year at least, and I don't think they're going to change. They tried to play wide open against Atlanta United.
We killed them.
Well, I mean, they won by multiple goals both times, but Philadelphia had moments where you were like, darn, this is going to be a tough game. And the one thing I would say is I would not be shocked Sunday, and you can ask Alexi this, I think we're going to have a lot of goals Sunday.
Okay.
Philadelphia hasn't played very well, but there's an advanced stat called expected goals,
okay,
which I guess measures chances created, shots, all that. They lead the league in expected goals.
Oh, wow.
They just haven't scored a lot of goals. They aren't converting.
So. I just picked up my Miles Robinson jersey at MLSstore.com, so I'm cheating on Escobar. But Miles Robinson.
And PT.
Well, I'm waiting to see. PT's a work in progress.
So you.
I got to be honest with you. I canceled PT. I ordered a Rometty. Then Rometty's been like walking in wet cement. So I got a little problem with my jersey.
So you have selected the jersey of a player who probably looks the least like you of anyone you could pick on that team.
Now,
Miles
Rometty,
Robinson, really tall, athletic guy.
Right.
No disrespect, of course. But I mean.
I'm built like a fire hydrant.
You strike me as more of a Rometty.
Yes, he does. Yep.
Yeah. Do you have a Rometty?
I have a Rometty.
Okay.
Have a Rometty,
see, now that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
He had a great Garza until he cheated on Garza last year.
You know what? Garza wasn't healthy.
Yeah.
With Rometty.
Maybe we should be careful and keep you from buying anyone's shirt because they tend to get hurt once you get them,
right?
That is
a good point. I had a Barco last year, too.
Yeah, or do us a favor, like buy a Madunyanin shirt before Sunday so maybe Philly's best player,
okay,
something bad happened to him.
Okay.
Although their really best player, Fabian, is out on red card. So, got to get it done.
But I said to Carl, Mike, I just real quick, good things are. I know we're not patient. We're not in the patience business in Sports Talk Radio, but you saw some signs. We're one pass.
No.
How many times were we one pass away, but they zigged when they zagged?
Yeah, it's still. Yeah, that's fair. They're working on it. You know, I think if Philadelphia tries to play you wide open, might be easier to get behind them, and then it could be a little easier to string that together.
I like the sound of that.
Don't you get the feeling it's like, remember, of all people, Miguel Almiron last year went through a little bit of a slump in the middle of the scoring slump,
right,
in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Then he finally got that goal, I think, against Orlando, and boom.
Took off.
With Pitti, I really get that feeling. Like, one goal, and it's going to take off for him.
I really want to see Barco.
So close.
How about, do you feel the same way? Like, it was almost like watching a team on power play. Take the shot, Barco. Take the shot.
Yes.
Yes, more shots on net.
Yeah, but I feel that way for a bunch of guys, actually.
I understand. Now, Jason, who's way more nuanced on soccer than I, we've actually debated that on the air. And Jason says, well, you know, you might think that he should be shooting when in reality he's doing the right thing.
Okay.
I defer to that.
Okay.
But, yeah, there were one or two occasions. In fact, in Philadelphia last year, because my dad was in the booth. That's the first time I've ever had my dad in the booth.
That's really cool.
It was awesome. We were up in Philadelphia, and Barco had one of those slalom through everyone, in alone on the keeper, and doesn't shoot. Pound the wall, like, shoot it, Ezekiel.
Yeah.
And my dad goes, boy, you get really
fired up
during that. I'm like, no, that's not something I typically
And we'll be right back. Right.
Son of a biscuit.
Right. That's not typically something I do.
All right, Mike Conte, what you got, man?
All right. You know, James Dolan, owner of the New York Knicks, who's come under fire in the last week or two because he threw a fan out of the garden for suggesting that he needs to sell the team. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's funny, more and more is coming out about James Dolan and how the owner of the New York Knicks, who I think is, the heir to the Cablevision throne, he made all his money in cable TV, is, let's just say, maybe a little bit sensitive, a little bit thin-skinned.
Oh, bad dude.
There have been other instances that have been reported in the last week or two about other fans at Knicks games that have been thrown out for anti-Dolan things. Charles Oakley, notoriously,
right,
but just other, you know, regular fans. Now we have this report that James Dolan, who's in a band, by the way.
Yeah, JD in the Straight Shot.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah, he's a recovering alcoholic.
Yes, it is JD in the Straight Shot. What the heck is a straight shot?
I guess if you're a drug and recovering alcoholic, as you call your band.
I was not aware. Is this the same band that he had play at one of the Christmas parties?
And the employees have to watch?
The employees were mandated to watch. Yes, that's the band. So I guess people paid to see this band, JD and the Straight Shot. That just sounds super exciting and thrilling. In Tennessee, and I guess someone at the concert brought a sign in that said, quit your day job, sell the Knicks.
Nice!
Dolan had him thrown out. Dolan, first of all, stopped the show.
Oh, God.
In the middle of JD and the Straight Shot's hit single I'm James Dolan. I don't know what it's called. And he yelled at the fan on the microphone, said, "Why are you here? You're a fan of music and you're holding up that sign. Don't you think it's a little negative?" Then he said, "You should leave so everyone else can have a good time."
Ooh.
And they threw him out.
He's a trip, man. I mean,
like,
seriously.
He's just a bad dude. I mean, again, I'm a lifelong Knicks and Rangers fan, and I got friends that have season tickets, and he's just a – I mean, there's more anecdotal stuff about what a creep the guy is. Just a bad guy. And he basically might get the ultimate Napoleon syndrome, too. Short, angry man.
He's not very tall. That is true. We should be careful because – our parent company, I think, was banned from the Garden for a little while because of some stuff on WFAN that they were saying.
I believe it.
So, you know, hopefully word doesn't get back. Please don't narc on us to James Dolan. I think the Hawks still have to play there again this year.
We might not be allowed in the building.
But no, like, this is the surprising thing to me. New York City is the toughest city in this country. It is the most aggressive media, especially when it comes to sports media, in the country. How does a guy like this, who is so seemingly thin-skinned, how does he survive in a city like New York?
The golden rules. The gold rules. He's got the coin, and he's not giving up, Mike. And the thing is, there's been dozens, if not, you know, how many columns and people writing. Phil Mushnick takes him to task every day in the New York Post. I mean, everyone hates this man, Carl.
Makes you long for the days of Dave Checkins, right?
Yes, and the old Remember Dave DeBuscher. Yeah, man.
This is JD in the straight shot.
Oh. Now, I mean, if you want a shot straight.
Oh, hold on. Ride that slide.
Close your eyes and just glide. Hold on tight.
Well,
to the stream.
That's okay. That's not as bad as I thought it would be.
I gotta be honest with you. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
It's not like listening to Le'Veon Bell's rap song.
But,
like,
good point. But, Mike and Carl, when you're a billionaire, you can't afford to get cleaned it up in the mix in the studio.
Yeah.
Tighten it up.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. All right, Conti, we were talking United with you, and then we got into this story, which, no, I wish we wouldn't have.
Does this song have a hook?
It just goes on and on. Hey, Conti's coming back in the 5 o'clock hour. Alexi Lawless is going to join us, guys. We'll talk Atlanta United, all things soccer-related, and get his thoughts on our club.
Here we go.
This is the hook.
It's just begun. It's so much fun. So jump aboard and
you know what? Adam Silver should take away his team for this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.